Let's all stand and come on in and find our seats, and together we'll lift up our voices as we sing, praise him, praise him. And then one of our Christmas hymns, could you hand me a sheet over there so you can see? One of our Christmas hymns, come thou long expected Jesus, thank you. Okay. Praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. See, oh, earth is wonderful.
This evening for our Sunday night service. Let's open up with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Kurt, would you open us in prayer?
Lord, I thank you for this evening. We can gather in your house and sing praises to you. And I ask that as we hear a message from you, Lord, that we would grow closer to you because of it, that our hearts would be touched, and that your name would be praised through it. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's look at where we're at on this schedule.
You can be seated.
Let's find out. It doesn't say on here that you can be seated. There you go.
All right, let's continue in singing the Lily of the Valley, and you are my all in all.
I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The Lily of the Valley, in him.
I have to say this morning, this afternoon at 2 o'clock, the preschool program was great. I'm telling you, people just smiled. The parents were thrilled. It is just such a blessing to see the moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas come. And our teachers do such a good job. Truly, you know, it should make you happy to know that your church ministry touches many families that don't come to our church. We probably had maybe 120, 130 people here.
I would say at least. Yeah.
Something like that. And the vast majority of them are not our Victory Baptist Church people. They're people who put their kids in our preschool. And we give them the gospel. We minister to them. But it's your church ministry. And I just want you to know that it does make a difference.
Yeah. I was coming in with some people out, you know, just parents and stuff. And there was a little girl, and her cousin was going to be in the program. And she said, I'm so excited for this. She said, I got myself all dolled up for it. And I thought I ran like striped tights. And she said, it's going to be amazing. She must have been like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
But I thought, isn't that great? You know, and
just
coming in and expecting such a great time.
And it was good.
It was great.
And I was standing in the foyer, and there was an elderly lady and an older lady, and then a younger lady, and then a little preschooler. And the lady said to me, she says, you know, that's my granddaughter. My daughter was in the ARC preschool. Now my granddaughter's in the preschool. This is her great-grandmother, and I'm the grandmother. She did this whole circle of people that are all associated with coming to the ARC preschool kindergarten, and they have heard the gospel many times because I always slide the gospel in there when we're ministering to those folks, but you just never know. And then one more freebie that I'm going to toss out to you. Because I know that sometimes we as parents, and I know talking to you parents, sometimes I'll hear you say, boy, I'm really worried about this child or that child because, you know, they're not really worshiping, they're not going to church. So today I was talking to a gentleman who has started coming to church, and he told me, he said, oh boy, Pastor, I was raised a Baptist, I've received Christ, I was baptized. He said, but, you know, I just got so busy with life. And he said, this happened and that happened. And he said, I just need to get into church. And he's been coming last little while. But, you know, you're looking at it. You may think to yourself, I'm not seeing any fruit in my child's life. But you know what? The Holy Spirit never gives up.
Amen.
And so here's this elderly gentleman who now is tapping back into his childhood of faith. And he's saying, you know what? I need to make it happen. You never, ever know. Amen?
Yes.
So don't ever give up hope. Don't ever give up hope. That was not an announcement. That was a free thing.
Can I just say, today, 3 of our grandsons got baptized.
Amen.
In
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. No, I didn't know. Praise
you
the Lord.
You baptized the other two over there.
I know. Now my feelings are hurt that I didn't baptize those ones.
Take it up with Pastor Kimber.
Yeah, that's it. But anyways, I want you to be encouraged to know that absolutely the Lord is at work. And even in the midst of a pandemic and all the questions and fears people have, the Holy Spirit's still working in people's hearts and lives.
Let's all stand one more time as we lift up our voices and sing. Okay, and you can sit and relax. You'll like me better, I'm told, if I let you stay seated. All right, let's sing together. What are we doing? On Jordan's stormy banks and amazing grace.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie.
No chilling winds nor poisonous
I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. And just want to kind of, while you're turning there, just mention, please be in prayer for some of our church families. Ted and Noreen, their daughter over in New York, her and her husband have tested positive with COVID, and Ted and Noreen were over there visiting with them, and they're really concerned. My understanding is they have not started showing symptoms, but they're concerned. So pray for Ted and Noreen and their daughter, who lives just on the other side of the lake. Also continue to pray for George and Debbie Foster. They've been quite sick this last week. And so continue to pray for these different folks, if you would. And I'm sure that there's more too that just aren't coming to my mind, but they're the ones that the Lord brought to my mind while we were sitting there. Just made me think, we need to be remembering to pray for them. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 12 through 16 is where I want to take you tonight. Title of our message this evening is Moved People, Move God. Moved People, Move God. And I'm going to show you, you know, this morning, I can't remember whether it was in Sunday school or when I was preaching, I mentioned how much I love the Bible because it's so easy to preach. When you read through the Bible, there's so many points that are brought to us in such a succinct manner that it's just, for me, it's a joy to just see the messages jump out of there. In this particular text, what we find here are three sets of threes that just draw me to the text. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 12 through 16. I'm going to read it for you, and then I'm going to show you the three sets of three and how they work in our lives about us being moved and God being touched and moved by our response. So look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 12 down through 16. And I want to make sure I'm in the right place here. Yep. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. So here you find the Lord ministering to Solomon, talking to him, working in his heart. Solomon's going to do the great building of the temple for the Lord. But the Lord also wants to make some things apparent to Solomon. He wants Solomon to understand that there are things that he expects of the people. There are things that God will do if they will do certain things. It's a whole mix here of people responding to God. God triggering things, us responding to him, him responding to our response. So those are the three sets of threes that I want you to see. First of all, we see God's threefold action. And this is every generation. It's not just the generation of Solomon. So when we listen to verse 13, we'll see three things in here that God lays out that I want you to understand could happen right now. Listen again to what he says. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So God here talks to the nation of Israel, but really he's talking to the whole world. The Bible is written for all of us to draw from and to learn from. And he brings something out to us, three specific things. He said, if I cause a natural disaster to happen. Now he uses the example of rain, no rain. He says, if I shut heaven up, if I lock it down and there be no rain. Well, those natural kind of disasters happen, don't they? Certainly in 2004, if you'll remember back, there was an earthquake off the coast of China and off the coast of Thailand that caused a tsunami to hit Japan, which then created consequences of a nuclear power plant having to be shut down. In Thailand, people were swept out to sea by the tsunami. Many, many, many people's lives were affected by that. It was a natural disaster. But we have seen in the United States, we've seen natural disasters, haven't we? Around the world, we have seen natural disasters. Things happen in our lives that just seem to be a natural disaster. When I first got out of high school, I dated a girl whose mother was in her 40s and had twins when she was in her 40s. She would consider that a natural disaster. 40s having twins, but she was doing fine. It's not, that's not a real natural disaster. But God is telling us here, he's saying there are things that happen in our lives, and there are things that happen in our world. There are things that happen that we can't explain. They are natural disasters. No rain is certainly a good indicator of that if it's just shut off and causes a drought. Look what he goes on to say, though. So that's the first one he mentions, is these natural disasters. He says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Second thing he says, or if I command the locusts to devour the land. Now that could appear to be a natural disaster, but if we look at it a little closer, we understand that this is really an economic disaster, isn't it? If you are an agricultural society and locusts come, not only is it a natural disaster, now this is an economic disaster. People have no food. If the locust infestation is at the right time and in the worst way, now you don't have seed to plant for next year either. This year in the south, in our country, we had these little, almost like locusts. What do they call them, Sandra Jo, in the south?
Cicadas.
And so where Josh, my son, lives, he went ahead and held his cell phone up one evening, and we were just listening to the loud noise of those. Well, as we came into the this summer, this spring, our government was saying this could be serious. There could be lots of cropland lost to these cicadas. Didn't turn out to be nearly as bad as they had predicted it would be. But here we find the Lord warning the people. He says, there are natural disasters that happen in the world, like massive droughts. But there are also disasters that happen that collapse our finances. And certainly individually, it can be a lost job. It can be inflation or the recession. Remember the recession of 2008. It impacted many people, lost their jobs, lost their businesses. Real estate dropped in some states massively, and people ended up losing their homes. It can be kids going off to college and having to pay for that. It can be an unexpected early retirement where there's no savings and economic struggle comes. There are a lot of ways that in our lives, economic struggle can happen. And so here he talks about the locust that comes and it devours the land, which would be a multi-year impact. And then the third one he gives to us. He says, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, which is a natural disaster, or if I command the locusts devour the land, that's an economic disaster. And then the third one he gives us, he says, or if I send pestilence among the people. Pestilence is more of a physical disorder, oftentimes disease, oftentimes things like pandemics. But in all of our lives, these kind of things could happen anytime. Some kind of a physical interruption in our lives. I was talking to Henry Haskell today after church, and Henry told me he was climbing up on the ladder at his house. I don't know if he was doing Christmas decorations. He didn't tell me, but he was coming down the ladder and missed a rung. Have you ever done that? And he fell right down flat on his back in his driveway. And he said it was just a miracle that he was okay. But at his age, or my age, or John's age, or Kelsey's age, any one of us, you fall off a ladder straight down on your back, it can destroy the rest of your life, can't it? And so here he's saying, there are pestilences that come into our lives, physical obstructions that come into our lives. And when those things happen, it can be disease, be a pandemic like we have gone now through for 2 years. It could be any number of things. God says these things happen. Natural disasters, financial disasters, physical disasters. And he's laying out for us this picture of life. And he's saying when these things in your life happen, and they touch all aspects of our lives, he says he is looking for us to respond. Now, before I go into the next part of the verse that shows the threefold reaction he's looking for, I want to take just a moment and talk about what our immediate thought should be. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 12, 5 through 8. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 down through 8. And here we find in this text a scripture that helps us evaluate the things that transpire in our lives. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to read you verses 5 on down. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So when we look at Hebrews, it reminds us that sometimes when these events happen in our lives, we need to step back and look and say, is this the Lord chastising me? Is my heavenly Father chastising me, my family, my community, my nation, my world. Certainly when he talks about natural disasters like a drought so massive that he's shut the heavens off from rain. Or when we think about financial collapse like, inflation or recessions or complete collapses of economies like we've seen happen in the world. Or pestilences that come to us individually, illness or injury, things that even like the pandemic. So we step back, and Hebrews teaches us, step back and look at it and ask yourself, is this just something that I'm going to grow from? Is this just an experience of life that's going to make me stronger? Or is this the chastisement in my life? Is this God dealing with something in my life that I need to give attention to and deal with? So that's the first approach. But when we come to the next part of our text, we find that he gives us three reactions that we should have. And I want you to look at that with me in the very first part of verse 14. So let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and look with me down at verse 14. And here are the three things. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their lands. So it's very interesting that he's just told us about three life events that could happen anytime to anybody. But he tells us if we will have a threefold reaction, then the second part of verse 4, he's going to show us his threefold response. But what's our threefold reaction? What's he asking us to do? He's saying, first of all, I want you to deal with it inwardly. Look at what he says when we come down there to verse 14. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what?
Humble
themselves. Humility comes from the inside, doesn't it? You can't create humility on the outside. Now, you might try to. Maybe you wear old ratty clothes to look humble. But that's not really true humbleness, is it? Because now you have to ask yourself, why are you trying to look humble? Is it in some way a reverse pride? I don't know. But you can't make the outside deal with the inside. Humility truly comes from inside, doesn't it? And so he starts off by telling us we need to look inwardly. If we have experienced some natural disaster, some economic disaster, some physical disaster in our lives, then we as a people or an individual, we need to look inwardly and humble ourselves before God. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And certainly we need God's grace. We need God's grace when we're facing a natural disaster. We need God's grace when we're in the midst of a financial disaster. We need God's grace when we're in the midst of physical health issues. So he wants us to look inwardly, find that humility to humble ourselves before God. But he comes down to the second. I put out three, but I really meant to do two. He gives us the second one in this response. So not only is there an inward, but there's an upward. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, which is an inward action, isn't it? And pray and seek my face. Now that's an upward action. He says, now listen, when you're faced with these natural disasters, economic disasters, health issues, he says, then you humble yourself before God and you look up to me. And he says, you pray and seek my face. And that is something that every one of us as Christians, it should be a natural part of who we are, shouldn't it? Today we did the little boys and girls program. And so we had all these little kids lined up on here, and all these relatives and friends out here. And so when they got up here, what do you think they automatically did? They're looking for their family, aren't they? So I was sitting right over here, right where Brother Bill is, and beside me was sitting this little tiny boy. He's just a miniature human being sitting right beside me there. And his mom and dad were right there, sitting right behind there. And so he's sitting there because they're all in their place all the way around here. And then they would come up and do their thing and go back down. So he had to come all the way around. So he comes around all the way around here. And he comes up these stairs. And he comes over and he finds his position. All these people out here. And he looks over and he goes to his mom and dad. Why? Because he wants to look to those who love him the most. In the most frightening and uncomfortable place, he wants to look and see and know they're there for him. At first I thought he was waving at me, but then I realized, no, he's not waving at me. He's waving at mom and dad. But you and I in this, God is saying to us, listen, when those things come into your life that are most unexpected, maybe just as a growing experience, or maybe as chastisement from your heavenly Father, he's saying you have a three-step response. First of all, humbling yourself inwardly. And then secondly, looking up to your heavenly Father, praying and seeking God's face. And then what's the third one as we come down in that first part of verse 14? Listen again. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And then what's the third? Turn from their wicked way. So he says, you need to look in, you need to look up, and then you need to look out. Because you need to turn from your wicked way. You need to make a change in your life, is what he's saying. That's the outward motion there. It's more than just, I'm sorry. It's repentance. That's what he's talking about when he uses that turn of phrase there, when it says he turns from their wicked ways. He's not talking about doing a 360, because what's a 360 do? Puts you right back to where you're going. So what good is it to face your problems and your issues and to just turn around and just keep on going the same way? That accomplishes nothing but just wears you out, makes you a little dizzy. But what he really is expecting you to do is to turn from this and change your ways. So he's telling us, he's saying, listen, when these things come into your life, when these things that you cannot control, natural disasters, economic crashes, when your health and circumstances become like a plague in your life, he says, humble yourself, reach out to me, and change your ways. How desperately we need to see this happen in our nation, don't we? How desperately we need to see leadership in our country decide to change their direction and actually draw near to God instead of all the other foolishness that's going on. But it's easy for us to be a pitchfork Christian. You know what a pitchfork Christian? I've told you before, but maybe you're here new and you've never heard this before. But a pitchfork Christian is one who, they sit right there in the pew, and I'm putting out the hay. I'm making hay while the sun shines. I'm putting out the food. And a pitchfork Christian sits there with a pitchfork and says, man, that is good for you. That is good for you. But it all just keeps going back instead of landing right there. See, you and I, we have to look at our lives and say, yes, I do wish my government would be more God-centered. They need to be. I wish the system we live in this, in our community, in our world, in our state, I wish they would get back to true values, biblical principles, salvation, renewal, and change. But you know what? It really has to start with us. It has to start with us.
You know, and maybe for you and I, that seems so little, but that's what God asks for. He's talking to Solomon. He's talking to Solomon so that Solomon can influence those around him. So God says there are a threefold action that can come into our world outside of our any dealings with us. It just happens. But he says you need to have a threefold reaction to it. That humility, that prayer, that repentance, so that you can make a new way in your walk with God. And then when we look at the second half of verse 14, we find another set of threes. But this time what we find is God's threefold response. He's going to respond to all that's happened. And in the second half of verse 14, he tells us exactly what his threefold response is. Look at the second part there. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive your sins and will heal your land. So we find his threefold. First of all, it's a downward action because he's in heaven and he's looking down. And there's a downward action here. He says, I will hear. Psalm 17:6 says, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Psalm 88 verse 2 says, let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. Psalms 102:2 says, hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. So when you see here in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and God says, I will hear from heaven, we see the first reaction of God. The first response he has is to lean down from heaven and hear our prayers as we seek his face. So he responds. It's comforting to know that if a natural disaster comes, if an economic disaster comes into your life, if a health disaster comes into your life, God hears. When we reach out to him, he hears. He inclines his ear towards us that he might connect with us. But that's not all he says. Remember, I told you it's another set of three. So we see him talk about inclining his ear. He's going to hear what we have to say. Look at what he goes on to say, though. He says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. So now, not only is there that downward motion of him hearing, but there's an inward motion with God for him to forgive. Just like he asked us to do an inward humility, here he's doing an inward forgiving. Because God loves to forgive. It's a part of his nature. He is long-suffering. He is a forgiving God. So he calls out to us. He wants us to seek forgiveness. I often quote 1 John 1:9 that tells us, if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why do I quote that so often? Because every one of you, and myself included, you need to know that verse in your heart and in your soul. Because you need to know that when you stumble, like Peter did, just outside of that mock trial of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he denied Christ time after time after time, and his eye caught Christ's eye, and he left that place and wept, the only thing that brought Peter back was knowing that God would forgive him. You and I in our Christian lives, if you fall once or twice or three times, you can know that your God is there if you will but humble yourself and reach out to him and pray and seek his face and repent. He says, I will hear you and I will forgive you. I want you to look with me to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, if you would. Isaiah chapter 1, and I'm going to read to you verse 18. It says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You see, when we do come to God and ask Him for forgiveness, He forgives. How much does He forgive? He forgives so that our sins go white, like snow, like wool. I was talking to a gentleman here just this morning, I think. We were standing out here on the sidewalk, and it was a little nippy out there, but not bad. Did you notice that today? I don't think it was bad. The sun was shining. I was standing out there talking to him. And as we were chatting, he was telling me how much he loves the cold. And I said, "Well, this is pretty nice." He said, "Yeah, this is nice." I said, "But when it gets to be like 10 below zero," and he interrupted me, he said, "That's when I'm outside." He said, "I love it." I thought, man, this is a hardcore Vermonter right here. But you know what I really do love about winter? And we haven't gotten there yet, but it's coming. Is that first snow when everything, all the grass is covered, and it's just crystalline white. And from my house, looking out my windows, I look across that front field, and when the sun glistens off that snow, isn't it beautiful?
It is.
Amen.
And he tells us right here, he says, "You know, when I forgive you, you are so forgiven that you are like that glistening white snow."
Amen.
So God tells us, he says, there is a threefold danger of life. You know, there are things we can't control, natural disasters, economic disasters that happen because of where we live and when we live. And there are health things that happen to us all. He calls us to respond in a threefold way. He wants us to look in our hearts and to humble ourselves and to look up to God in prayer. And he wants us to repent of the sins that so easily beset us. He himself does that downward look and inclines his ear. And then he does that inward look and he forgives. Then look at what the last one he says, the third one that he gives to us of this threefold, three-time text. He says, "I will forgive their sins and will heal their land." Now, God didn't have to say that. Because in all honesty, if we're forgiven, that's pretty good, isn't it? It's pretty good to be forgiven. Most of us just seek to be forgiven in our lives. If we've done something really stupid and we come home, in my case, I come home and I say to Sandra Jo, "Boy, I am really sorry. I forgot to stop and pick you up that iced coffee I told you I would get you." I'm just hoping to be forgiven. If that little twinkle is in her eye and she says, "Not a problem, I'm forgiven." I'm really not looking for full restitution to where it's like I never sinned at all and everything is made perfect. I'm just happy to be forgiven, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But God goes a step beyond, doesn't he? He says, "I'm not only going to forgive you," he says, I'll heal your land. Now, in all of our lives, there are many things that happen. And for us, we would love to see a healing come. And the only one who can do that is God. You know, the United States of America, this COVID thing is killing us all. If we don't die of COVID, we're going to die of all the things that go on because of COVID. It just continues on and on. Last Sunday, we had like, I think we had 120 in church. It's the lowest attendance in a long, 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 long time. And I'm telling you, as your pastor who's worked here for 33 years, that's hard. It really is hard. This Sunday, I don't know what the attendance was, 160s, something up around in that, which was great. I thought, praise the Lord. At least we're not still heading down, because for like 5 weeks, we've gone down, 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 down. I'm thinking, where is the bottom on this thing? Well, praise the Lord, last week I'm hoping was the bottom, and I'm hoping we're headed back up. But you know, oftentimes things don't heal. They don't come back. But we do ask God, Lord, can you heal the land? Can you heal the church from COVID? Can you heal me from my illness, whatever it may be? God, I just need you to reach down and heal it. Can you heal my family in the midst of turmoil? Can you heal my workplace that's divided and coming apart and closing? I mean, there's so many things in our lives. Yes, we want forgiveness. It's the most important thing to us. But God offers us the graciousness of healing. The United States, I had somebody call me the other day, and they're just worked up, fired up. And I try to calm people down. That's kind of my job as the pastor, isn't it? We don't want to stoke that engine. We want to kind of throttle it down a little bit. But there's no doubt we look around and we all get frustrated. And my hope and my prayer is that our nation will turn, even as God is calling Israel. But even more than that, I pray that we as God's children, we are the ones who will turn, and that we will affect those around us. You and I live in one of the most God-rejecting states in our country, least religious state. But there are a lot of states in the United States where many, many, many people claim to be Christians. Many. And yet they still vote for abortion. They still vote for all kinds of things that are contrary to the Bible. Why does that happen? Because they have not yet humbled themselves. They've not yet sought the face of God and repented of their ways. They're still driven by the carnal man and the influence of the world they live in. You and I, whether we live in the Bible Belt or we live right here in Vermont, you and I need to listen to God. He is giving us three things that could happen to us anytime. He's asking us to respond in a threefold way. And then he's promising that he will respond in a threefold way if we will just follow him. That's my Bible lesson for you tonight. That's my challenge to you. That's my hey pitched out to you tonight. And I'm asking you to do the same thing that I ask my cows to do every day. Eat it. Take it. Let it nourish you. Let it strengthen you. Sometimes as I'm leaving my shed, I'll tell my cows, go forth and make beef. And all that means is just go forth and grow. Grow and be well. So for you and I tonight, as we're dismissed, go forth and grow. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can be in your house tonight. Lord, we thank you for your many, many promises to us. We love your word and all the things that it touches upon and challenges us about. And I pray that you help us to be faithful to you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.